Our scripture lesson today is from 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, page 260 in the Pew Bibles. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other, until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what may I do for you before I am taken from you?" Elisha said, "Please, let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elijah went over. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When I was doing my doctoral studies, we would go to Atlanta. I was in Alabama, a pastor at the time, and we went to Atlanta and all met there, and we had intense classes for a couple of weeks to a month, and then we would then go back to our employment, places of employment, and we'd study for the next class, read books, etc. So while we were in Atlanta, we stayed in the dorms at the school. And so we all ate together, talked a lot, you know, learned a lot, you know, in those conversations after class. But one day I was sitting with a group, and one of the guys was talking about the movie Chariots of Fire. And so I, after a few minutes, said, "Oh, that's funny. I'm preaching this Sunday about when Elijah was hidden by a chariot. And he looked at me real funny, and he said, "When was Elijah hit by a chariot?" And we laughed about it, and I thought, you know, it'd be a whole lot easier to explain this passage if Elijah was hit by the chariot and went to heaven. You know, we could get it then. But it's this very strange passage about these two prophets walking, and then Elijah being hidden by the chariot and raised, lifted to the heavens, and Elisha then moving on. Just a strange passage. First and Second Kings are books about the kings. It's historical books. It has a lot of details. You know, we know how many wives Solomon had, and we know the details that went into things. But it also has stories. And in these stories, we learn about the various kings and the prophets that went along with those kings. And so this story is a story about two prophets, Elijah and Elisha. And even though it's a strange story, I think there are ways that we can connect. The first thing is that it's a journey story. Elijah and Elisha went from somewhere, they knew where they were at, but God sent them to different places that they did not know until God told them. And then they had no reason to go to those places. But at each place, the first stop, Elisha was met by a group of prophets. And these prophets said, "Now, Elisha, do you know what's going to happen to Elijah?" And Elisha said, "Oh, yeah, I know, but I don't want to talk about it." And then they went on to the next one, to Jericho, I believe. And the prophets there came to him and said again, "Do you know what's going to happen?" And Elisha said, "Oh, yeah, I know, but I don't want to talk about it." It's that those journeys, you know, that we have, that we don't want to talk about it. I think about death. There are those times when we're on the journey toward death with our loved ones. And some of us need someone to talk to us about death if we're caregivers. Sometimes it's hard to talk about it, but sometimes we need to talk about it, but others can't get there. It's hard to go and say, you know, your loved one is going to die. Have you got things in place? Do you know what you're going to do? Those really difficult times when we don't want to talk about it. And there are other times in our life when we keep those secrets, when things are not going well, and we don't want to talk about it. The other thing there is that they needed companionship. All along the trip, Elijah kept saying, "No, Elisha, just stay behind. Just stay here. I'm going on." But Elisha said, "No, I'm on this trip with you." We all need those travel companions as we go on our trips. And if we face it, all of our trips are to destinations unknown. In the end, we might know pieces of our journey, but we don't know our entire travel, where we're going, or why we're even going there. I love the journey, though. I think often we remember the journey more than we do the destination. Last year, we all went, or several of us went, to Cooper's Rock for Vespers, and I hope that you all come this time. It was a beautiful evening at Cooper's Rock. But on that journey, Tammy and Brenda and I decided that we wanted to go early. So we wanted to journey up to Cooper's Rock early so that we could hike. Well, not all journeys go straight to where you want to go. Elijah and Elisha went a circuitous route to get to where they were going to be. Well, we likewise decided that we might take a little detour. Well, on the freeway, before we got to the detour that we thought we might take, there was a bad accident. Now, the accident was on this side of the freeway. But you know how it is when everybody has to slow down and look at the accident, each car at a time, and then move on. So we were going slow as everyone was looking at the accident on the other side. We finally made through and thought, okay, that accident will be gone by the time we come back home. We're fine. And so Tammy and I must admit, Brenda did not need a pumpkin. So Brenda was not as excited to go, but she was a good sport. She came along, and we took off and went to the pumpkin farm and picked out wonderful pumpkins, and I was just as happy as I could be. Got back in the car. We're ready to journey on to Cooper's Rock. Well, we get back to the on-ramp, and there's another accident, and you can't go on the on-ramp at all. So we turned around, and guess what? We're detoured back on the freeway, back the other direction toward Morgantown. So we're creeping along because now we're in the line of cars and trucks that are going by the actual accident. We finally get around the accident. We finally come on back up. And of course, then when we get off at the next exit, then we're in the line of cars that are creeping along because they're looking at the accident across the freeway. Well, we finally made it to Cooper's Rock, just long enough for me to make sure everything was set up and for Brenda and Tammy to get to make a little short hike before they made it back to Vespers. But you see, on that journey, as I think that Elijah and Elisha also had, we had time to laugh. Maybe they had time to cry. We did not cry, although Brenda may have been crying. She was not as excited as we were about the pumpkins, but I was happy. But then we also learned from each other on those journeys because you're stuck together. You're in the car or you're on the journey together. Elijah and Elisha may have needed time for introspection, that quiet time to think through things. But there's also the enjoyment of the journey. Deserts can be gorgeous. They can be harsh and they can be hard, but they can be gorgeous also. And so as we go on our journey, sometimes those crazy routes through unknown or those detours aren't so bad. I got to see Cheat Lake 4 times, slowly. We got to rubberneck that accident 3 times. We got to see the beauty of October leaves. And we got to enjoy each other and laugh upon that journey toward Cooper's Rock. And I cannot tell you what songs we sang or what scripture we read, but I remember that journey to that spot that day. Well, we learn on our journeys. We're prepared on our journeys for something coming. And so Elijah and Elisha were prepared to cross over the Jordan. The Jordan in the Bible is always a place of great importance. And so the crossing over of the Jordan into that unknown was an important crossing. And we have those in life. First crossing is when we cross from birth into the world, into life. We have crossings when we cross from life to death, from singleness to marriage, from no children to having children, from employment to retirement. Those are hard crossings or good crossings. From ability to disability. Life prepares us for those times as we cross over. I had a friend in high school who majored in forestry, and she met her husband. They moved to Montana, and so there they lived in those beautiful places where on the weekend you go hiking and see beautiful sights, wonderful mountains, and all of that. Well, they decided one weekend to go backpacking, she and her husband. He was a smoke jumper in Montana. But it was the weekend. They were going to backpack back into the deep woods outside of Glacier and Glacier National Park. And so they backpacked in, no problem at all. But during the night, there was a horrible, horrible rain. She said torrential rain. They woke up in the morning and they thought, you know, we really probably need to get out of here. We need to get home. So they hiked back and they got to the river. Well, when they came out, when they were journeying to their campsite, they went across a log, but coming back, the log was wet, and the river underneath was raging, and it wasn't too far from the bottom of the log. Well, her husband made it across, no problem. He was physically fit. You know, smoke jumper, he was trained, he was used to extreme danger, he was a great leader, and he made it across fine, but she was paralyzed, scared to death on the far side of the river. When she finally laid her body down on that log and just inched across until she finally made it to the other side. Crossing our Jordan rivers can be really frightening, can paralyze us at times. It takes courage, It takes thoughtfulness and discerning how we should go. It takes endurance. And a lot of times it needs a companion, somebody on the other side to encourage us to get there. We need hope. We need faith. But usually when we get to that other side, we realize the importance of the crossing. We learn something from that crossing. Well, Elijah and Elisha crossed over the Jordan. And then we have that strange passage where, So they're over on the other side of the Jordan, and Elijah turned to Elisha and said, "I'm going to leave you. So what can I give you?" And Elisha, in his wisdom, said, "I want a double portion of spirit." And the word in Greek, in Hebrew, is ruah. And ruah is the same word that is in the Genesis when God breathed life into Adam. It's the bringing life into our bodies. It's breath, it's spirit, it's wind, soul, mind, passion. It's whatever brings life into our bodies. And so Elisha, with all of his wisdom, said to Elijah, "Before you're taken from me, give me the breath of God so that I can continue on." Well, Elijah knew that he couldn't give Elisha the breath of God. He knew that that was only something that God could give. And so Elijah said, "If you see me lifted into heaven, then you'll know that God has given you the breath of God. The Spirit of God." And so Elisha dared to open his eyes. You see, the opening of our eyes, the seeing is important. And so he opened his eyes and he dared to see. And then he received the Spirit of God to go on. He had the desire, he had the open-mindedness, and he had the courage to have, to listen to God, to have the breath of God within him. You see, knowing has to do with seeing. So with opened eyes, Elisha was able to feel the Spirit of God within. And then he knew what he had to do. He knew how to proceed on his continued journey in life. And he had the courage to cross back over the Jordan River. Back away from that place of receiving that high mountain of God, back across the river to the work of God in that unknown place, on that unknown journey. Let's bow for just a moment of meditation and prayer. O Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on each one of us today. Amen.